As we all know, our practice is always the practice of this very life, this very moment. So to clarify this matter, I'm going to look at some pieces of work by Dogen and in part doing it by looking at different ways of articulating it in English, different translations, so that we could see different perspectives in expressing this that we are. Different ways that those who study this use words, and therefore see how we use words or are used and trapped by words. See, many of us, because we get entangled in words and phrases that we believe about this that we are, miss this that we are. Dogen has a chapter titled Hensan, or Hensan, depending upon how you pronounce the Japanese characters or the Chinese characters. Hensan can be translated in a number of ways. Most simply, we can translate it as thorough exploration or all-encompassing exploration. Exploration of what? All-inclusive exploration, study, practice of this life that we are. Encompassing or all-inclusive, important. Because as we know, but often forget, our practice is all-inclusive, encompassing of our life and all that we encounter of our life. Therefore, it's always this that we're doing, this where we are, this that we encounter, nothing else. Which is why sitting Zazen is so simple. Zazen practice is so available, whether we're sitting upright in the Zendo or we're walking down the street or we're at work or elsewhere. Hen, the word hen literally means everywhere or wild, widely. Now originally, Hensan had to do with widely visiting or studying in the sense of experiencing with a master. So disciples would go from monastery to monastery to temple, master to master, and study, practice, explore with them. Dogen uses the phrase to a little bit differently in one way to emphasize study with one master, this thorough exploration. But you'll see that it's even more. He says the first phrase is the great truth of Buddhist ancestors is exploration of the ultimate state through and through. It is there being no strings under the feet. No strings under the feet has to do with hindrances and attachments. The phrase itself is a phrase connected to the Chinese habit of capturing birds and then putting strings on their feet to keep them from flying away. But no strings under their feet, though no strings under our feet. So that's this penetrating the ultimate realm with no strings attached or no attachments. So that's what we're talking about. The ultimate realm is where? Well, we'll get to that in a little bit. See? This ultimate realm is always right here. That's where we penetrate our life. That's where we study, explore, clarify our life. So I am not going to go through all of these texts. I am just going to pick up a few phrases that I want to talk about. Let me say it differently, excuse me. I have gone through the whole of these texts, but in talking about them here, I'm just going to pick up a few phrases. So I definitely am going to be leaving out almost everything in the text, so you won't have that. But I want to pick out a few phrases that I think are important for us. So Dogen quotes an interaction between the sixth ancestor and one of his disciples, Nanyue. When Nanyue comes to the sixth ancestor, Chao Chi or Wei Neng, the sixth ancestor asks him, "What is it that thus comes?" It said that Nanyue practiced with the sixth ancestor for 8 years, and he finally presented to the ancestor saying, "I understand now. When I first came here, you instructed me, what is it that thus comes?" See, in a way, we could always use that phrase for ourselves. What is this that thus hears right now? What is it that thus eats when you are eating lunch? What is it that... So the sixth ancestor says, "How do you understand it?" Nanyue says, "Speaking about it won't hit the mark. Speaking about it won't hit the mark." Another translator puts it slightly differently. To describe a thing doesn't hit the target. See, to describe a thing doesn't hit the target. And this is his way of expressing what he realized in 8 years of ongoing practice, thorough exploration, says Dogen, of this mud ball. So the sixth ancestor says to him, "Do you rely upon practice and experience, or practice and realization?" See, this is a question that we always ask, because if we rely on practice and what we come to realize, what are we doing? We've got practice in order to get somewhere else? Is that the reliance of being, realizing, exploring our true nature, our life? So the answer given by Nanyue is, it's not that there is no practice realization, but to taint it is impossible. It's not that there is no practice realization, but to taint it is impossible. Now, wait a little, and I'll say it again with a different translator, and you'll hear a slightly different aspect. Thereupon, the sixth ancestor said, I am like that, you are also like that, and Buddhas and ancestors are also like that. Another translator, I think, makes it a little clearer for us, saying, it is not that there is no practice and no realization, it is just that they cannot be divided. They cannot be divided. See, that's tainting, is dividing them. Tainting is turning our life into doing something in order to get something else, and therefore missing the very life that we are. Tainting is turning this moment into something in order based on how we figure it out and calculate and break it up. They cannot be divided. That's why he says, calls this all-inclusive. All-inclusive. Always our practice is all-inclusive. Another translator again uses a similar phrase. He said, it turns the question into, practice and enlightenment are not here. Hear that. Not here. In other words, notice he doesn't say practice and enlightenment are right here. He says, practice and enlightenment are not here, but they cannot be gained if there is any impurity. What would be an impurity that would hinder the gaining or the being of practice enlightenment? What would be that impurity? So, this is good for us to reflect on a little. So I'm going to now skip to the very last paragraph, I shouldn't say it that way, since it's originally not written in the way we think of paragraphs. The end of this section clarifies a little more. All-inclusive exploration, practice, is just single-mindedly sitting, undivided, single-mindedly, untainted, single-mindedly sitting, dropping away body, mind. At the moment of going there, you go there. At the moment of coming here, you come here. There is no gap. Just in this way, the entire body all-inclusively studies the great road's entire body. The entire body all-inclusively studies the great road's entire body. That's what our road.
Road.
Great roads entire body. Great ways entire body. Great universes entire body. Great lives entire body. See? Don't think about this, just hear it. It's very straightforward and clear. Except if you have ideas. Thorough exploration, says another translator, is just sitting and getting free of body-mind. Dropping away body-mind. Getting free. I wouldn't use the word getting. Being free body-mind. But getting free is fine. Dropping away, fine. What is dropping away body-mind? What is, if I say it differently, forgetting self, which is another way of setting this, just sitting. The state at the present moment in which going is going there, and coming is coming here, there being no gap between them. Between going, going, coming, coming, is thorough exploration with the whole body. And it is the whole body of the great truth. See, that's always our life function. The whole body is our whole body. Our whole body is our going, coming. Some of us tomorrow are going to go home. Going with our whole body, wherever home is. Coming here with whole body. Or not quite doing that, but getting trapped and coming and going here and there, this and that. Another translator puts it slightly differently. Again, listen. Thorough exploration, Henzan, is shikantaza. Single-minded sitting. Notice single-minded sitting. Dropping off body-mind. Hence, we can find our true self and actualize Buddha-mind. The entire body of thorough exploration is the entire body of the Great Way. This is free and unfettered samadhi and actions of the enlightened. Thorough exploration. But now let's look at a slightly later text which picks this matter up in another way. This is another text of Dogen's, but still actually picks up this very quote that I cited. This is a text that's titled Self-Realization. Self-Realization Samadhi. So notice how it's got a slightly different emphasis, flavor, or self-enlightened samadhi. Which starts off with the phrase, the authentic transmission. What has been authentically transmitted by all Buddhas is self-realization. Or another translator says, is the samadhi of practice enlightenment. The samadhi of practice realization. Hear it. This is what we're talking about. I need to pick up a different or another one makes it even clearer is the samadhi authentically transmitted is the samadhi of experiencing self. Experiencing self. Not some little thing in here, but experiencing for ourselves with what our life is, which is this practice realization. Please wait and then we'll get to talking about it. Experiencing this life that we are. Self-realization samadhi. See? Untainted practice experience. Untainted practice experience. Or undivided practice enlightenment. This is what we're talking about. So he then picks up, Dogen then picks up the same dialogue that he had in the previous text, which is why I bring these two up. But he states it slightly differently. One time, the old Buddha Cao-tzi, meaning the sixth ancestor, asked a monk, "Do you depend upon practice enlightenment?" The monk replied, "It's not that there's no practice and no enlightenment. It's just that it's not possible to divide them." Not possible to divide them. Though, of course, when we divide them, we get in trouble, which is what we do. Because when we divide them thinking this to get that, we divide and create gaps in our life. The other translation, again, goes along with its previous version. It's not that there's no practice experiencing, but to taint it is impossible. And though it's impossible, we somehow manage it, creating difficulties where difficulties cannot be, except for us. So remember, untainted practice experiencing, undivided practice enlightenment, is the Buddha ancestors themselves, is this very Buddha teaching. It's the thunderstorm of Buddha's ancestors' samadhi. So how do we work with this? So he brings up there's two ways or two aspects: following masters or good counselors and following sutras. I want to just cite what he says about sutras. In general, when we follow and practice the sutras, the teachings, sutras truly come forth. And what is the meaning of sutras? See, don't be fooled that you think sutras are books somewhere. Sutras are the whole universe in the 10 directions. Mountains, rivers, earth, grass, trees, self, others. It is eating meals and putting on clothes. Instantaneous movements and demeanors. When we follow the truth, when we pursue the truth, following these texts, which are these texts, remember, eating meals, putting on clothes, each of these, which is a sutra, countless thousands, myriad volumes of totally unprecedented sutras manifest themselves in reality and exist before us. From morning to night, that's all that's manifesting and existing before you, if you thoroughly explore, thoroughly practice self-fulfilling realization in these sutras, in these eating, working, putting on clothes, riding the highway or the BART, or, well, not BART, I don't know what it's called in Chicago, the buses and the trains. Doesn't make a difference. They have lines of characters of affirmation that are conspicuous as they are, and their verses of characters of negation are unmistakably clear. When we are able to meet them and encounter them, we muster body mind to learn and practice, therein using up long eons or making use of long eons, the destination that is thoroughly understanding inevitably exists. Letting go of body-mind in order to learn in practice, we thoroughly gouge out eternity and soar beyond eternity, inevitably realizing the virtue of receiving and retaining sutras. So, a little further on, he goes on, picking up one example. There are sutras as staffs that preach the length and preach the breadth, naturally breaking emptiness and naturally breaking existence. Listen to that. But I'll read it in a different form, and maybe you could hear it a little better. When you follow a sutra, you thoroughly experience your skin, flesh, bone, and marrow. Remember, what is a sutra? When you drop away your skin, flesh, bone, and marrow, all of a sudden the emergence of the eye of seeing is encountered. The roaring sound is heard. When you follow and study a sutra, what is it? It's the entire world of the 10 directions. Mountains, rivers, earth, grass, trees, self, and others. Notice, Dogen is speaking to monastics who are living with him, disciples, not just monastics, lay people as well, who are living out in the mountains, in the, you could say, the wilds of northern Japan, in a fairly remote rural area. He could just as well have said the cars, the streets, the skyscrapers. It is having a meal, putting on a robe, and engaging in activities. Which of us does not do that? Which of us does do that? See? When you study the way and following a sutra, see, are we doing that? Then thousands and myriads of sutras that have never existed emerge and become present because of self-realized samadhi, self-realized practice. See, that's up to us. There are phrases that clearly affirm and phrases that completely deny. Encountering these, studying them, grasping them and becoming intimate with them, with the entire body-mind, however long the eons you exhaust and however long the eons you take up, there is always a place where you arrive with full mastery by studying letting go of body-mind. Even if you pluck out beginningless aeon and fly beyond beginningless aeon, you will always achieve the experiencing of receiving and maintaining the sutra. See? Again, this phrase with the Sutra of a Walking Stick, I like that one particularly. Expounding vertically and horizontally, meaning in all directions, meaning every which way, vertically and horizontally. Think of it. Vertically is that, and horizontally is everywhere. That's in all directions. Crushing emptiness and crushing existence. This is our functioning, whether with a walking stick or with the keys to your car or driving your car. See, this is the sutra of Zazen, the sutra of experiencing skin, flesh, bones, marrow, and dropping away skin, flesh, bones, marrow, body, mind. See, these are just shorthands. So let me go to the third translation and just see if I want to add any phrase that they pick up. Ah, there's a nice phrase there. When we study these texts, since it is impossible for us to avoid following these sutras, they will become our enlightened vision and marrow. Head to tail, everything is true and right. Sometimes you get it from others, sometimes you give it to others. It is the activity of enlightened vision that drops off self and others. See? But I shouldn't go too much into this, because I am indulging in what I like, but I bring this up just to enable us all to appreciate it, because this is really encouraging us to see what is this practice realization that from the beginning we are, and yet we must do undividedly in order to not taint what can't be tainted, to not add gaps where there are no gaps, because it's only our adding gaps to our life that leads us to miss the life, the sutras that are our daily activity. See, our daily activity are sutras. Our daily activity is the functioning of this self-realization samadhi. Self-realization has nothing to do with self-centeredness or me or I or ego or any such nonsense. That isn't what this is about. See, this is thorough explorations, thorough clarification. See, that's what this is. Of course, different translators say it in slightly different English words, and some words might strike you and some words might leave you flat. It's fine. Just be with no strings under your feet. See, under your feet, no strings means at least when the strings appear, don't believe them or see your believing them. And just sit, be just sitting, just walking, just eating. And I shouldn't say that. Be thoroughly simply sitting, simply walking, simply pissing, simply shitting, simply talking, listening. Whole body mind is dropped off body mind. Dropped off body mind means what? See? Not something magical or fancy. It's something very ordinary. It's being intimate as this moment. It's being the functioning of your life. It's being undivided. Undivided because it is undivided. You are undivided. It cannot be divided, is what the sixth ancestor said. Practice realization cannot be divided. Undivided. It is undivided, untainted. It's not that it's not here. It's just that it cannot be tainted. And yet, if we believe it's tainted, then for us, it's tainted. Even though it can't be, it is for us, for this moment. So, I know you gave me great indulgence by allowing me to bring these up. So now maybe we could use these as a springboard to further clarify our practice, because that's always the point of this. Otherwise, these are just pieces of paper that we could use in all sorts of ways. So let's see if I've thoroughly helped you or made things difficult for some of you. What are the sutras of your life and the practice of the sutras of your life, or the gaps in the practice in the life sutras? Yes, Monshin.
So, as we're listening to your Dharma talk,
yes,
we can listen, or we can, which is what I will do. I don't get it. What's he talking about? That's confusing. What was the last thing he said? What is he? And then I'm not hearing it. You know, while you're reading one thing, I'm worrying about the thing you read before, which is how I divide up
right
experience.
Well, trying to think about it, figure it out.
Right.
I think one of them addressed it. I mean, if we try to approach it as figuring it out, then it's not thorough exploration. Then it's thinking about it, as opposed, I always say, let it come in, let it go out. If you don't get it, if it doesn't resonate, let it be. See, just let it percolate and come out as it does, come up as it does. I will clarify as best I can, but my words are reminders.
Not getting it, if you practice with it, if you're available to not getting it, is in a way getting it. You're right there not getting it. How's that feel? What do you think you should get it? That's an idea. I should get it. And how does it feel? I should get it. And then while if you're thinking about I should get it, then you're off somewhere else.
The Nanyue, the student of the sixth ancestor, said to describe the thing does not hit the target. And yet we constantly aim at describing it, or we attempt, even to ourself, much less to others, to describe it with words, because we hope or believe that if we describe it with words, then we will get it. Our description will, or speaking about it, won't hit the mark. And it's not that there's a problem with speaking, it's just that we believe that the describing words take care of it. And if we're satisfied with the words, then we're satisfied with our life. And We do that with people and circumstances. We add words to they are dot dot dot. This means dot 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 dot. She said this and therefore dot 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 dot. And we take the words, nothing wrong with the words, to be the whole of the mark, the whole of the target, the whole of the thing. And we wonder that though we think we're satisfied with the words, we then find that we're left unsatisfied. Despite the fact that we've got the words that we believe, hold to as that's going to hit the mark. That's hit the mark. This not just about others, but also about ourselves. That's why he uses this expression, dropping off body-mind. That's dropping off the words about body-mind. Dropping off that. Not that you have to get rid of anything. It's just not holding on to that description as the divider of our life circumstances into what it is. See, we use the words to divide our life. That's why he says undivided, no gap. Again, nothing wrong with words. I mean, that's all Dogen is, words after words, text after text, and, you know, Chan and Zen are one of the traditions that have produced reams and reams of words, but we need to know what words are and what words aren't. And we need to know what sutras are, and that the sutras aren't limited to what's between the covers or the words that we say and repeat. Yes.
I find this interesting, but not, as you said, it's your thing.
No.
But I found what you said the other morning, there are no throwaway moments, there are no throwaway breath. And that I have carried with me since as a kind of mantra.
Good.
And that feels really useful.
Now, instead of adding the words, I find this interesting, and then dividing with that, see, don't let that decision that something is interesting contain it. See, that's using the words as a form of describing reality. Using words, judgment, as a form of telling ourselves what it is. Notice when we use that interesting, not interesting, this or that. See, that's exactly what they're talking about in terms of words don't hit the mark. Do you get that?
They do.
If you say so. When we use words to describe our own states and circumstances, we believe the words, and therefore we miss our life with those words sometimes. So when you say, I find something interesting or not interesting, fine. But don't be trapped by those words. There's no throwaway. Even uninteresting aren't throwaway. See, uninteresting is nothing but the functioning of the Buddha. See, your Buddha nature, the functioning of your Buddha nature, that's thus come. What is it that thus comes and says, interesting, not interesting, not interesting enough, not as good as? What is that? That's, what is it that comes thus? See, that's what the sixth ancestor asks. That's the sutras from morning to night. Don't miss it. Don't miss it by dividing. Don't miss it by creating gaps through the words. Please. That's exactly no throwaway moment. No throwaway function. No throwaway activity. That's undivided. No gap. Not dependent on anything else. It's only our dividing it. Despite the fact that it's untainted, we believe tainting it. Despite the fact that it's undivided, we divide it. It's impossible to taint, and yet we taint. It's impossible to divide, and yet we divide. See? It cannot be divided. That's what the sixth ancestor said. That's what Dogen says. Is it true? Can it be divided? Or can it not be divided? See, that's the fundamental of practice realization that's so difficult for us to get. From the beginning, practice is in realization. And yet we say, no, it's not. It's not for me. I insist. It can't be divided, says Dogen. It can't be divided, says the sixth ancestor. And we say, yes, it can be divided. I know better than them. That's what we say to ourselves. That's what we say in encountering people, circumstances, conditions, likes and dislikes. What does the third ancestor say in On Believing in Mind? Some of you know that phrase, at least the first sentence. Anyone want to quote it? Next line. And say it louder.
The great way is not difficult. Something about.
It's not dependent on picking and choosing.
You don't have preferences.
That's right. Preferences, picking and choosing. But I don't care how we say it in English. The perfect way knows no difficulty. Just avoids picking and choosing. Whatever way we say it. That's the gap. See, doesn't matter who we cite. All these practice ancestors say, point to the same point. See, that's what body mind dropped away is. Because not dropped away is when we divide our life into what we like and what we don't like, what's inside and outside, what's me and not me. Again, it's not being foolish. It's not saying, oh, I could pick up this cup of water and though my mouth is dry and I'm thirsty from all this talking, I could pour the water on the ground and that'll quench my thirst. See? I can say that, but come on. And yet, what does it mean? The perfect way is no difficulty, no picking and choosing. I'm taking the sip. See, that's thoroughly studying and looking at what is that this that comes thus? What is being undivided? Being no gap. Being no gap. Being no gap with our whole life. See, that's what offers us the self-realization samadhi. Being no gap. Being no throwaway. See, being no throwaway. Every one of us has that opportunity, not by doing something special, just sitting upright, just walking, just eating, just listening, just pissing, just shitting, just sleeping. I keep adding those just to remind us that it's everyday activity that we do from morning to night. It's not special. Even an infant knows how to do that. They might not do it where and when you want them to. But every infant, and even an old person who's becoming infirm, who's become, quote, incontinent, still functions in that way. Even when we lose part of our mind, or all of our mind, in some forms of dementia, we still are the functioning of this Buddha nature. Though it's difficult for others to be with that, it's difficult for us to be with that. That is our life. That's this no gap that we don't want. And yet, it offers us the greatest of joy and opportunities if we can penetrate it. That's coming thus. Yeah, Laurel. I'm sorry.
I was going to expand upon the physic thing. Did I learn anything? Well, I learned anything about Chinese babies that they didn't wear diapers for eons. And what their mothers did was, when they wanted them to pee, they would go and they would make a noise, and the noise would spark the need to pee. And when I learned about that, I thought that was so great. That's a great idea. What's all this mess of diapers for? And yet, when I became a mother and I was doing diapers, I learned to be with diapers. That's what I taught my parents, So, but the beauty of the Chinese thing is that they figured that out somehow by paying attention to the sound of it. I didn't think of. I was following the direction. And you could only figure that out by paying attention. And by also paying attention to the way something learns, like something learns, figuring out that kids learn by sounds or figuring out that humans learn by sounds. So, so people learn things and try to transmit their knowledge to you, but when you think you have something or understand something, you really don't. It's like putting smoke over the mirror. It's like, I get this, but no, you don't. You just know a new thing that you were taught, and you're only taught that because they think they figured it out, but really nobody figured anything out. Really, there's this giant myriad things that we're missing when we think we figured it out. Like, I think I got the diaper thing down. Well, I'm missing this other real awesome way, and 1,000 more awesome ways that other people have learned. So on the one hand, you don't want to say to your teachers, no, that's hogwash, and ignore it. You want to take that in, but don't let that close you to the things that you can figure out because you have the conscious mind or the conscious ability or something that you can figure out, and the way that other people have figured out too, because they have that ability too.
We should add, just in terms of the Chinese, to say that there's two more aspects to Chinese not using diapers. One is that the babies wear pants or whatever garments that open up on the bottom, so that all you do is you open those garments, and then they would piss and shit wherever they were. So in the middle of the street or in the middle of the fields. So it's got some not so, quote, healthy from a public sanitary point of view, other aspects. And it means everyone else in the society puts up with that. So, but all sorts of many ways of being human. But what the practice point is, that all those ways are the functioning of the myriad sutras if we thoroughly embrace and manifest them, rather than get caught in dividing them up dualistically and in other ways, or dividing them up in self-centered ways, of all the ways that we add likes and dislikes. Yeah,
I'm one of these people. I tend to be one of these people who tries to hold on to ideas and thoughts, words, and make something out of them. And one phrase that I find really interesting that Dogen, you used, is dropping away body mind.
Mm-hmm.
And
I try
away body mind. And I try and understand that, what that means, you know, how that works. And I had the idea that it's like this all or nothing thing. Once your body and mind dropped away, well, there you go, you're home free. but that's not my experience at all. My experience is when I notice that I'm holding on to some belief or some emotion that has come from somewhere, who knows where, idea about someone or about myself or something. When I notice that and the times I can let go of that, it feels like body, mind in that moment has dropped away.
Mm-hmm.
2 minutes later, the same thing happens again, and then I have to again, and again.
And it's not the arising of that thought or feeling about them, even the quote, like or dislike, but it's the holding to it and the acting out of it and keeping it. There was a phrase of it, not attached in one of the, you know, like the strings on your feet. So we put strings on our judgments and we essentially string ourselves up with them. If I can switch the phrase, we string ourselves up to use, you know, stringing someone up in English vernacular means hanging them. We string ourselves up with the attachments and we string our life up and we suffer because of that. See? There's nothing wrong with that, whatever arising, but holding to the preferences, holding to the attachments in the face of what occurs doesn't serve us. Doesn't serve us. We can do it, but we all know the consequences of that. We can act on it if there's appropriate action, but if the food that comes by is there and that's the only food that's there, you get to bitch and moan, excuse the expression, while you're eating it, or you get to not eat it at all, or you get to eat it and thoroughly be eaten up by it. Eat when you eat, be eaten up by your food. That's the no gap. That's the body mind dropped away. Opportunity of undividedness, of thus comeness.
So it's a never ending process. It's not, you never. What I'm saying, it's like you never arrive, you're always going there.
If I quote Dogen somewhere, this ongoing practice, ongoing realization, what does he say in the...
Shivagenza.
Yes, in Genjo Koan. He starts, says, this actualizing goes on endlessly. See? This... body, mind dropped away. See? No trace of enlightenment remains, and this no trace continues endlessly. Endlessly. See? We actualize myriad things, body, mind, our own and that of others drops away. That doesn't mean we are in some airy-fairy world of mists and anything else. Body, mind drops away in that of others. And this no trace continues endlessly. That's practice realization. From the beginning, we are nothing but this endlessly body mind dropping away practice realization. That's this no gap, undivided. Yeah, Linda. But see, what's most useful is to see how can, like Museki said, take a phrase, no throwaway, great. Whatever phrase resonates with us, take that and use that to keep. Or, some of you have names, and I encourage you to use your names, because that's part of what the opportunity of having a Dharma name is, to use that as ongoing practice support and nurturing. Koshu.
Yes. If I were today writing a commentary, today, I would phrase it this way. Don't miss one glorious moment by listening to the monkey mind chatter, bitching, moaning, complaining, cursing, and blah, 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 blah. Because that's what I see, what you're saying is each moment we have that opportunity to not do those things, and then the body mind drops away.
Well, so all together you can say that be intimate, be undivided. You've got that whole, because that's what we're talking about when caught and self-centered. But sometimes we have to spell it out more to ourselves or to others. See, in a way, all my talking here is extra. Just sit. That's enough. But I need to give you the opportunity if you have something more to say that you want to say.
The story that Dogen, I don't know, quoted or used, where the teacher asked the monk, I don't know how it's phrased, do you depend on practice realization, or are you dependent on it, or something like that. I thought, now I'm sitting here, my jumping ahead, see how this comes out. I thought that was the gap. Me dependent on this rather than the practice realization and sort of separation.
See that as a testing. See, it's part of the task of the, if I say teacher, is to test, where to poke where the person in front of them is coming from. That's the function. Doing that is getting into mud. That's always described. Doing the Zen work is putting yourself into mud.
Mud.
Dirting yourself up. Doing what's not necessary and doing what is extra and doing what contaminates you, etc., etc., whatever phrase you want to use. And yet you have to do that. So does it depend on practice realization? So what is the answer? It's not that there's no practice, no realization. It is that they cannot be divided. Cannot be divided means not dependent, because dependent means divided. When A depends on B, then when your car depends on gas, then gas and your car are divided. The point in terms of practice realization is that from the beginning, practice is nothing but realization. Let's go a step further. From the beginning, your life is nothing but the realized life of the Buddha. That's what the Buddha says. That's what was quoted a few days ago. I and all beings of the great earth are the wisdom and the perfection of the Buddha. That's the phrase that's one of the sutras has as the Buddha's awakening. I didn't make it up. You've probably heard it many times. You can probably even find where it is. And yet we don't believe it. Being just this moment, we say.
So the use of koans is an attempt to throw us right back into the mud.
No. To allow ourselves to discover we've never been in the mud. See? But we have to unmuddy ourselves, or at least be unmuddied in the midst of the mud. Otherwise, we believe the mud. See, that's the caught and self-centered dream, is believing the mud that we believe. And if we believe it, we suffer. And we cause suffering to others and harm through our words, thoughts, actions. And we could see our words come out without noticing, you know, as reactive habits. Our actions come out as reactive habits. We cling and believe our thoughts as reactive habits, as the way I talked about a few days ago, as cause and effect streams that we just allow to manifest and therefore perpetuate suffering, stress, harm. Yeah. From the beginning, there's only Buddhas in here. Only Buddhas in here. Is that true? Do you say it's not true? Do you believe it's not true? If you believe it's not true, there's the problem. There's only Buddhas in here. We only allow Buddhas in the Zen Center. In fact, we only allow Buddhas in Champaign. There aren't any non-Buddhas in Champaign. In fact, even the whole state of Illinois, no matter who the governor is and no matter who is, only has Buddhas. I'll go a step further. But I don't have to do it. I've said enough. Thank you, Buddhas.
Copyright 2013, LU Genmyo Smith.